And good afternoon, everybody. The Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden. Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Going to have a great show today. It's a Monday. It's a beautiful out day out in Colorado. I can tell you, I was out and about. No one's wearing masks. No one's doing anything else.
Business is back open.
The mayor may demand that we all wear a mask that he doesn't wear in pictures. We're brought to you, as always, by Colorado Citizen Press, the greatest blog around. If you get your news locally, you got to get on Colorado Citizen Press. Great stories on what's going down to the legislature. And we're going to have a Dave Williams, one of the best legislators down there, with us in a few minutes, hopefully.
That's right. We got Tony Caputo coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's running the Republican candidate for House District 32.
Great guy.
Yeah, and want to just send out like an open invitation to political candidates there. You know, it's very hard these days to get some of the mainstream media to pay attention to you, particularly if you're a Republican candidate. But I want to let you
know, it's negative. You can get some negative press.
If you make some typo in your tweet, then you're doomed. Yeah. So then they'll be all over you. But we want to give you sort of an open invitation to candidates. We'd love to have you on our show. We'd love to give you a chance to talk about what you stand for. Even if we agree or disagree, that's okay. We just like to get the word out. Democrat candidates, too.
Even better if we agree.
Yeah, exactly. But here's what
lots of Democrats. They come on all the time.
Yeah, well, Ted Trimpa does.
Well, a lot of Democrats do. Democrat. Now, we don't have too many people running for political office. But we'll accept them. You know, they'll be, you know, a vigorous debate, and we'll enjoy it.
All right. And I think we have, let me get my glasses on.
Dave Williams with us. He represents District 15 in the Colorado House of Representatives. That's Colorado Springs. He inevitably ends up on the top of everybody's rating as a top conservative legislators. Even better, he's hated by the establishment, so you don't get any better than that.
So we love him.
We don't care about all the rest of it, but we love Dave. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, all right. And we know you're busy with the legislative session, so we'll jump right to it. One of the things I wanted to talk to you is you were tweeting over the weekend, and now the Denver Post has picked it up, about a flyer you found at the state capitol, and I'll let you explain it. But basically, it's advocating killing Republicans.
Yes, they do.
And you're the one being attacked by
the
Denver Post. So go figure that out.
How did that happen?
Why don't you explain what you found, what it says, and what's going on with all of that?
Yeah, so, I mean, where to start, right?
Right.
Yeah. So this flyer was brought to my attention, and it was originally found by volunteers who were cleaning up the Capitol on Saturday, right? So we all know that during the riots and protesting, the state Capitol, the People's House, was graffitied up, it was trashed, and it was left in pretty bad shape. So we had people of goodwill come together and try to clean up, you know, the mess that was left by these crazy leftist Antifa people.
Right.
And that's when they came across the flyer, which called for the murder of Republicans and it went into bad, inaccurate history about how Republicans are responsible for slavery and how, you know, source of all the problems. And I just simply took the photo of that flyer and I put it out there on Twitter saying, this is disgusting. This is bad. You know, we should all be able to denounce it.
Right.
And of course, the media, the Denver Post, leftists on Twitter, they all went nuts.
Right.
And
right.
You think that this would be something we could all come to an agreement on, that this stuff is bad.
Well, and the headline of the Denver Post is like that you're complaining about, you're talking about it despite questions about its veracity. Now, what the heck does that mean? The flyer exists, right? The veracity is self-evident.
Yeah, this question is one of the most ridiculous questions I've ever heard in my life. Is this real? Yes, it is. Someone typed it up, someone printed it up, and circulated it amongst the protests.
Right.
Of course it's real. What kind of question is that? Now, if I'm being generous, I think what they're asking is, well, you know, did the protest organizers do that? And my response is, it doesn't matter who did it. It's wrong.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Well, I think they're implying that you or Republicans drew it up as, you know, something like those fake hate crimes they love so much.
Well, and let me back up. This is brought to you then, the Denver Post questions, by the same people who put pictures all over, ran nationally with the fake nurses at the protests, nurses that they never talked to, nurses that they couldn't verify where they worked, nurses that they never even actually personally saw. And it wasn't until we and Peter Bowles over at 710 Can US revealed that these people weren't nurses at all. The guy was a disc jockey at a strip club, right? So that's how worried they are about the truth. And it cracks me up that, you know, when it's something like about murdering Republicans, rather than say, hey, this is bad, they attack you for bringing it up.
What do you expect?
They're attacking me because it's going against the narrative of the Democrats and the leftists that, you know, there's nothing to see here. Even though there's rioting and there's looting, it's almost justifiable. That's what they're saying because of the injustices that are going on. I mean, my God, you had Leslie Herod, who is the Democratic sponsor for this new police bill, saying that we don't want to put rioters behind bars because private insurance companies are going to pick up the tab and cover the cost. Did you guys see the Denver Post report about that? Did anyone?
Yes. Yes.
Carl Clark asked her, hey, why is it okay for rioters to damage things? Because insurance is going to cover it? Nothing, right? Instead, they want to attack Republicans because they want to provide cover for their buddies that are controlling the state right now.
Right. Well,
if insurance is going to cover it, why do they need any help from the federal government? I mean, it's all taken care of.
Let's tell that to the businesses that were trashed, that were looted, that couldn't even – you know what? You can't get – insurance to cover all the downtown restaurants that were finally able to open thanks to the dictators, you know, Michael Hancock and Jared Polis, and then they're closed because of the riot. Insurance doesn't cover that revenue that was lost or the food that
they don't cover riots.
Nevertheless, that's what the Democrats are saying. And I'll give you an even better one here. Tay Anderson, right? The school district board member for Denver Public Schools. You know, this guy is being touted as a peaceful, you know, non-aggressive protest organizer by CNN, Kyle Clark, the Denver Post, everyone, you know, in the mainstream media. But they ignore the fact that right before the riots, he put out on his social media, you need to burn it down before you can rebuild.
Well, we remember him because we went out for the ICE, support ICE rally, and he was talking about all kinds of things that ought to be done to people who support
He was when the cameras weren't rolling, you know, in front of the protests, you know what he told the crowd? He said that he was disgusted that the police was there and that he and Leslie Herod worked to, quote, disband the police and the SWAT from amongst the crowd. Now it begs the question, why would you do that? Right? If you're acting in a peaceful manner, why would you want the police away? Right?
You want
them to protect the crowd if they're acting peaceful.
Well, and you know,
so
these
guys.
Let me ask you, you know, kind of moving on that, because you know, for instance, like Tay Anderson wants to get rid of the Denver Police School resource officers. There's things both ways, but it goes to me sort of like the defund the police movement. It's like, so who are they going to call if there's a school shooting, right? I mean, I was a reporter for a long time. They have a lot of incidents at Denver schools, at all schools, frankly, right? And the police are going to say, oh, we're sorry, you didn't want us there, we can't come. I mean, what's your take on all of that? I mean, because like
I think that's where it's headed, right? So if you were to listen to Leslie Herod, right, she did an interview where she made that insurance comment. Right. She had an interview with George Brockler, I think it was last week or so.
Right.
And in it, you know, she George asked, you know, hey, where do you feel this should all go? How should this be handled? And she talked about, quote, community policing. Right. And this is a term that you're seeing all around the country now because of this movement to defund the police. And you will see this, especially in Minnesota, where those council members are, you know, they have a veto proof majority now to actually defund and disband the police. And they are using that same term, community police.
Well, out there, we know at least for part of it, it means Sharia enforcement.
Sharia law in Minnesota.
In those neighborhoods, they want to have their own, quote-unquote, Sharia enforcers. That's community policing.
They're not talking, are they, Dave? And I want to clarify this about the community policing that came in vogue after like the summer of violence in Denver a couple of decades ago, right? Where there was more community organization, police departments in the community. That's not what they're talking about, are they?
No one knows what they're talking about.
All I can tell you is that you have to connect everything that's happening right now. There's a pretty bad bill that's running through the legislature right now that would effectively handcuff, no pun intended, the police's efforts to actually enforce the law, right? So when you take what they're doing, their action, and Leslie Harrod is a prime sponsor, coupled with her words that she eventually wants to get to, quote, community policing, what that tells me is it's all headed towards this notion of defunding the police and empowering who God knows who to actually start enforcing the laws. And these are people that may not be post-certified. They may not have the proper training or the experience to actually deal with criminals. And so I liken it to an attempt that the Democrats are always fond of, and that's letting criminals run loose on the streets.
Right.
Well, yeah, you're going to have, I lived down in Mexico for a while, and part of it is in the Yucatan Peninsula, really didn't have any regular police. And so the only law was either your family, because if you were killed or mangled or raped or something, the family would retaliate, or gangs. I mean, that's who, they had plenty of community policing down there, but it was a very violent place. And if they think they're going to have community policing, everybody's going to be hotsy-totsy.
Well, the rich people will have, you know, like Sharon Stone with her safe house, the Gateses who have two safe houses, safe bunkers, you know, they'll have all the security that they need. It'll be the rest of us, the very people that are trying to help. I mean, it's like, what's going to happen when you call 911, right? But can you believe that? And I think, like you said, it's all connected, that we're even actually talking about something so ridiculous.
This is scary stuff right now. I mean, this is, and what's tragic about all this is that they're exploiting something that I think in a lot of ways it has the ability to unite us. I mean, we all know that there is abuse, there is police corruption and brutality that does happen. And, you know, people like me and Pat Neville, we're happy to come along and kind of end some of the abusive practices that do occur in law enforcement. But these guys want to take that tragedy and go way too far to the left and do things that aren't even connected to what happened with George Floyd. Well, and that's the unfortunate part about it.
There's right. No question the police unions have really throttled, let's say, the Denver police. Almost no police officers ever permanently
fired. But
that's
with the mayor's complicity.
Well, I know. But you know, it's not that things are perfect. Westminster, the police just are their own little enforcers in force and really are not accountable. And so there are a lot of reforms to be made. But the idea that you're just going to impose Sharia law or whatever else they're planning for us is really obscene.
Right. I think, you know, when President Trump, you know, goes after aggressively Antifa and he talks about law and order and he talks about, you know, ensuring that we do maintain the kind of society that we do need to be able to maintain peacefully. But these are all opportunities for us to expose who the Democrats are, because they secretly want to support Antifa. They want to make it easier for criminals to get loose on the streets. They want to prevent police officers from doing everything they need to do to be successful.
Until it actually happens, and then they'll have the 94 crime bill again and mass incarceration. Okay. I mean, they swing back and forth from super predator blacks, and you're gonna jail everybody to defund the police. But it's always this huge swing that they go through in the effort to try to get political power.
I mean, yeah. What's the bottom line for them, do you think, Dave? Because it has gotten, like I said, it's hard. It's hard to imagine that we're talking about, you know, a deep state that tried to overthrow the president, right? It's hard to believe that we're talking about, oh, the rest of us can't go to funerals or can't go to a restaurant, but thousands of people, including the mayor and the chief of police, can protest, right? It's hard to believe that you've got rioters and you've got Colorado state lawmakers defending the rioters over the business people. I mean, what's their bottom line, do you think, or is there one?
I take, you know, Tay Anderson at his word, you know, and I think he's a good example of what they believe generally, these radical Democrats. They want to burn it to the ground. Yeah. They want to burn it down and create society and the governmental structures that they want. That's what they want to do. God knows what that looks like. All I know is that they have an excuse for everyone who does something bad, right? It's not their fault. It's society's fault. And they want to make it easier for those people rather than law-abiding citizens.
Right. Now, Dave, I know you're busy, but do you have time for a phone call? Can you stick with us for a little bit here?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, because we got Barney on the phone. Barney, always reasonable, always calm and rational.
Barney alone, Julie. No, leave Barney alone.
I love Barney. Barney is my brother. I secretly think that Barney is my brother. Hey, Barney, thank you. Happy Monday. Thanks for calling up.
Chuck and Julie, and I know, Julie, I love you too, just because your husband doesn't love me, and your guest is not going to like me when I get done with them.
Okay,
I like Dave Williams, Barney. Come on.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, we can all be friends, but look it. Here's the problem. This is my opinion. Let's go look at what happened nationally before we talk about Kay Anderson and his crap. We got George W. Bush kissing Biden's butt. We've got Colin Powell kissing Biden's butt. Here's the problem with us Republicans. We're full of spineless. Just spineless. Republicans, and you expect us to pile on, and it's not going to happen. Our problem is with our party. And then you talk about this, what's going on now. This didn't just happen over George Floyd. By the way, I'm just a dumb white guy out here. This is video after video. Yes, some of the videos aren't necessarily proof positive that cops are bad, but the fact that we have a big old battle. And the best thing that all you have in your pocket is to say, well, we've got to go. This is all about George Floyd, yada, yada, yada. This has been building and it's been building. And now we're here and we've got a storm on our hands and we're going to have to deal with it. And now you've got people that are like, well, hell yeah, let's defund the cops. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's get rid of them. And your lefties are all too happy to join in on it. But, you know, you're talking about Kay Anderson, this kid, I'll tell you what, Alberta Simmons and some of these other guys that thought they were black leaders, God help us when this kid gets some years on him, because he's a little radical and he knows a lot. He's not dumb. So all I'm saying is we're here and because we did nothing about it before. So it builds and it builds and it builds. This isn't just one incident. This is Floyd and this is a lot of other things. And you got to take a look at, I don't have the answers. I would say to the black people, I got news for you. The cops that are bad, they don't like any of us. It ain't about color. It's about them against us. And they have been emboldened. Some of these cops are out of control. End of story. I can't shoot you in the back in my house, but a cop can. You know what? The rules of engagement for cops just, the threshold is way too low. So that's all I'm saying. The bottom line is,
Barney,
we got here. Love you guys.
All right. Thank you, Barney. Barney. You know,
well, that is a point, Dave, that, you know, I mean, police abuse, and it really is not a racial thing per se. I think there were like 19 unarmed blacks killed last year by police and 41 whites. The police, through their unions and otherwise, have often been abusive. And it is a time for correction. Now instead of having a correction, you get a total
insanity.
Abolition. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what I'll say is this, right? You know, a lot of the reason we're at where we're at is because we do have gutless, or we did. Let me say that we did have gutless. We still do, but we had some gutless Republican establishment people who, you know, they don't care. They don't care if Rome is burning, as long as they get to keep, you know, their title and their influence and whatnot. They don't care about that stuff. And I agree. I mean, there has been corruption, there has been abuse, and there is room, you know, for both parties to come together and try and rein in sort of the ever expanding police powers that are going. I mean, I don't like the militarization of the police. I don't like the fact that they get unlimited qualified immunity. I know it's called qualified, but it's really unlimited.
Right.
Well, it's weird. What it is you have to show that the police officer should have known that he was doing is wrong, and to show he should have known, it means you have to have a case that's exactly the same. that the person is found guilty on. There are very few the case found guilty. So the chances of that you will lose your qualified immunity are almost zero. And now that's before the Supreme Court. And they may not take it up, but they could take it up. And if they do, I think that doctrine was just invented by judges. Really needs to be radically
changed. You guys can
changed.
Uninvent it. And you're working on that, right?
Well, sure. I mean, Republicans in the House anyway, we're coming up with amendment ideas that we think should help improve that bill. But as written, it's a pretty bad bill. I want to make sure that we end abuse that is going on, but I also want the police around, right? I don't want to get rid of them. I just want to make sure that they're not being tyrants. We don't want to see another George Floyd incident happen. And I think that's something that everyone can agree on, but that's not what's happening.
Let me ask you a different question about your good friends on the establishment down in El Paso County, including Eli Bremer. What are they up to? They decided that
they're attacking Ken Buck. You're back on that.
David should know because he's attacked by the same people all the time. I mean, you had a primary opponent, I think, who didn't make the ballot, but they certainly tried to get you an opponent. I mean, what are they up to? I mean, forget about attacking the Democratic.
These guys are more interested in maintaining the little power or little influence they may have, rather than focusing on gaining majorities, right? They would rather work against people like Pat Neville or me, instead of trying to, help good candidates beat Democrats. And the reason they do that is because ultimately they suffer from the same problem that you see with Democrats. They think they know better than you, and this whole party system, is just that. It's just a party system. But when they all get together, they're all going to negotiate and figure out how to take more money and more power away from the people. So these people I don't even consider real Republicans. They're,
is the whole group? I mean, I got all the Bremers. I got, Eli and his uncle who helped trash Iraq. And you got both ways Bob Beaupre, who running campaigns against conservative Republicans to try to take their seats. But the money people who've supported them for so many years, the Anschutz and the Coors and the Stevensons, I mean, are they behind getting rid of Ken Buck too? I mean, I assume they are. These guys wouldn't do it.
It's a great question, and I'm not entirely sure what the motivation is. You think that after years of their money getting thrown away down the tube, they would kick these establishment players the curb, but they keep coming back. And I ultimately think I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I don't know exactly what's going on.
You and Phil aren't like this.
I would say if you at least want to know who the players are so you could follow them. Just look at anyone who opposes Pat Neville. And you'll get a good idea of who's establishment.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the Friends of the Future, Friends for the Future, that's a whole group of them. Who else would you put in the category as an opponent of Pat Neville's? I mean, they wouldn't disagree with that analysis.
Oh, God.
We don't have time. An hour here.
It's tough to, because I don't remember all, because let me put it to you this way, this is a little inside baseball, but these group names, they change, every cycle. Yes. They don't necessarily stay the same. So there was one, so I'll give you an example. There's this one group that's opposing a couple of candidates in Weld County and is even making a play in some other areas, and they call themselves Coloradans for Constitutional Values. But if you see who they're supporting and you see who they're opposing, then you'll get a very clear picture of, that's not the case, right?
What their values are.
That popped up this cycle.
Right. Well, let me switch gears again, Dave. One final question for you. We, to give you a head where we're coming from, think the Gallagher Amendment is good because it keeps our property taxes down. But they're tinkering with it, I think, as we speak.
It's really funny that Westward had an article on it.
And it went away.
By Patty Falcone, and it quickly got taken down.
I mean, you can't find it anywhere. What's your take on what's going on and what's going to happen,
I think that ultimately it will fail in the legislature. I mean, it's going to take 2/3 to get it out. I know the bill sponsors feel differently, but I do think it's somewhat interesting that the Democrats want to push this, because they're effectively saying we want to give a tax break to developers and commercial property owners and raise taxes on normal people. So they're giving, I mean, they're giving a tax break to the 1% and putting it on the backs of normal residential owners. So I think there's a bit of a double standard that maybe needs to be talked about if it gets to the floor.
I sure hope so.
Speaking of the floor,
anything else, Dave? You got
anything else you want to let us know about?
All the listeners out there, please help out, you know, good people like Pat Neville, especially with his group, so that we can go take out Democrats and restore balance back to the state.
I mean, well, who should where should they send their checks to?
That's a good question. I can't remember the name, but I'll get you that. I'll text you that information. You can put it out there.
I know. Pat tells us every time. I think they just changed it a little bit. So,
but I keep on trying to convince Pat, so maybe you can do it for me. He's got to have something like, just like that other group, you know, Conservative Colorados for something. You know,
he does. The name escapes me.
It's too weird. He should have Republican in it somewhere if it doesn't violate some kind of thing. But something easy to identify, because, I mean, honestly, he's told us 2 or 3 times, I can't remember, Julie can't remember, you can't remember. If all 3 of us can't remember, it's the wrong name. You got to go with another name.
Right. I'll get it today, and I'll text it to you guys.
Perfect, and we'll announce it. Dave Williams, Representative Dave Williams, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for getting the word about that flyer, even though you're the criminal, apparently.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Denver Post. Good. Thank you for doing
good to
that.
Talk to you, Dave.
I had a lot of activities, but thanks for having me on.
You all bet. Right, thank Take you. Care. Take
right.
care.
Dave Williams there. And yeah, we'll get that. You kind of have a point, Chuck, about Pat Neville. Like, you never can remember, which says something, right?
It says something. You know,
I'll put that out as soon as we get it. You know, I see we have Tony with us, so we can monitor. Well, let's want to talk about Synergenics first, and then we can do that. Okay.
You know, I don't know about you all, but I kind of feel like I'm Rip Van Winkle. I mean, I had a 2-month hiatus, or I certainly just emerged from this almost stupor. But what a perfect time
after
the lockdown. You know, now everything's back. We got to get our energy. Got to get everything else back. And one of the people to do it. Best person is Julie McCallum in Synergenics, where youth is a feeling, not a number. Both men and women, we have the power to take and manage the aging process ourselves, whether it's through diet, whether it's through hormones, and a lot of other things that really make you feel the best you can possibly feel. And it's particularly important these days with coronavirus always hanging about. So they like to see their patients healthy and living fulfilled lives. And the easiest thing to do is just call Julie up.
Not me, Julie McCallum.
Well, call Julie too.
I'll call you too.
Yeah. That's 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. You get a free personal private consultation, and you'll be amazed what they can do for you. That's Synergenics, Cenegenics.
All right.
And one more time, 720-387-3681. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
Hey, and Dave Williams, man of his word, values first Colorado.
Yeah,
so if you want to know.
Send it to there, but we got it. Values first Colorado. It doesn't.
You need kick their butts, Colorado.
Yeah, kick their butts, Colorado.
Something like that. All right, so I see we have Tony Caputo on. Hey, Tony, we asked you to mute. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, so Tony is a Republican candidate for House District 32. We've run into you a number of times at a number of events.
Amen.
And just, you know, like I said, open invitation to candidates. Yeah. Love to have you on. It's not hard to get some publicity these days. So why don't you tell us, we'll just make it open-ended, softball question. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your campaign.
Well, I guess first thing is to tell you a little bit about who I am.
There you go.
Actually am an immigrant, believe it or not. I was born in Italy back in, but I was adopted at the age of 4 and a half and brought over to the United States. I was made a citizen in 1962, so it took 5 years. So I went through the process, right? And I've been involved, because I've run into you guys many times over the years. I've been involved in first in Jeffco for about 10 years, and I've been involved about 30 years in Adams County. And I've helped at every level possible. I never, never expected to run. But I'll be honest with you, when I saw what was happening in Adams County as far as trying to get candidates and stuff, I for 3 months, I prayed. I really did. Okay, because this is not something I look forward to. Okay, sitting and listening to some of these characters. All right, but I went 3 months and prayed, and the Lord just kind of, you go.
Go.
So I did, and I am here, and I am dead serious about this. I have my campaign manager is Kavika. And he's
hi.
Yeah,
hello.
He's there. He's watching over me, you know.
In case he'll tackle you. Years ago, I was a press person for when I was a Democrat, right? And I took it as my role at sometimes was to be ready to tackle them and send them to the floor just in case.
tell us where you're in District 32. Where is it? Where
District 32 basically starts at Tower Road.
Okay.
Okay. And it comes like a funnel in a way, because most of it is in Adams County. All right. So I go all the way up to 118th at one point, all the way to Tower Road, south down to just a little bit before Smith Road.
Okay.
Then I go down and starts narrowing. I go through the street federal, okay, and all the way to Sheridan.
Wow.
Okay.
And now you're facing an incumbent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Madame Benavides.
Okay.
She is the whip for the Democrat Party. So all of these bills that we talk about, she's the one that gets the people in line.
The votes, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a few bills that we did a town hall on all kinds of different bills. But now I have a little list here of ones that are going to be coming up.
Okay.
And that we've been warning people about as much as we can. Okay. It's for House District 32. And I would appreciate any support anybody can do. We have a website. May I mention it now? And I'll repeat it later.
Yeah.
The website is www.tonyc4hd32.com.
All right.
Wow, that's a
tonyc4hd32.com. I like it though. It spells out exactly what you're talking about.
I am. Yeah.
Well, you know, Adam's gonna. You know, is she the incumbent and emerge person?
No.
No.
She's pre-emerge.
Pre-emerge. Okay.
Oh, pre-emerge.
Okay. Let me ask you about this. I mean, we live in Adams County. And, you know, Adams County, I think, is not as liberal as people would say. When you walk around the district, what are you finding? What are you hearing from people?
Well, one of the things that I'm doing, if I may,
sure.
In Adams County, 6 years ago, we had fantastic candidates, and they won. Mm-hmm. And they did a fantastic job. And then 2 years ago, they all ran, but they wouldn't work together. And guess what? They all lost.
They all lost because they brought a huge number of ballot harvesting.
Yeah, it was the first ballot.
At the very end, where all of a sudden there were a lot of Republicans were leading to the last moment, and all the voices went the other way. And that was so. I hope you're going to do some ballot harvesting because you can't win without it.
Well, the Lord won't let me do that. But we're gonna get into sections of Commerce City particularly that I think are very open to our message.
Well, the mayor of Commerce City is Republican, isn't he?
I know.
Yeah.
I know, and I've been in touch with him. But the thing about Commerce City is primarily Hispanic. I came from Trinidad, Colorado for 25 years. That's where I was raised, primarily in a Hispanic area. I actually helped pastor a little church that is 90% Hispanic. I just came back yesterday from Avondale, a little church that I help out a little bit once in a while, go down there, and they're 90% Hispanic. In talking to the various Hispanic people within the community there, I have not found one yet that wasn't really open to the ideas I'm bringing, because I'm for that individual freedom. I'm for the rights, the first and second in particular. I'm for family rights. You know, right now what they're trampling on the family rights in that. So my platform, that's the first part of my platform. You know, I'm also very concerned about Tabor, education, and a little bit about the health. There's things I think they could do to help out. But my focus is up there on those individual rights that we're losing. And it's so obvious now going through this whole coronavirus and also now going through the various riots that are going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I know you know a lot about history, and it just reminds me a lot about what was going on in Nazi Germany. I think, you know, when you guys were talking, I think that there's a certain group of people, George Soros in particular, that have planned this because they could not have been just happened.
No, it's planned.
There's no way.
Enormous planning. Enormous.
Absolutely planned. So who did it and why?
Right.
Listen, they failed in their soft attempt coup to get rid of Trump. Is this perhaps the next step that they're trying to do?
I think so. Well, and Tony, that's why people like you, and you know, and thank you for running, because I know sometimes it can be hard to find candidates.
It is.
And hopefully, as you said, 2018, the Republicans didn't get together. Hopefully you can get a slate that all can work together.
Oh, I'll tell you in a second. Go ahead, what you're saying, Julie.
Well, I was going to say, it is important. I mean, you know, Casper Stockham, who's running, you know, for Congress right now, but he ran forever in Denver, knowing that his odds of winning were extremely small, but he made them pay attention. He made them spend money. He made them work at it. I just, you know, when you have these Republicans who say, oh, well, we're not going to put a candidate up. I'm like, why on earth not? It'd be like the Broncos saying, well, we're not going to bother to show up to the football game because we can't win. Well, there are a lot of benefits to get just for showing up. If
Amen.
Nothing else, you get to spur the debate. Well, let me just a couple more questions because we got but go ahead. You know, sort of, I'm going to let you at the very end say how to get hold of you again, but just anything else you would want to say or add.
Well, with Chuck saying, you know, are we going to work together? I have been working very hard to get all the various candidates. I've talked to you guys about it.
Right.
We're having barbecues, and we're going to have one, Lord willing, with you guys as
podcasts.
Part of your podcast.
That's right.
And the one I've got coming up, I have one on the 20th, and it's my actual final campaign kickoff. We've been doing everything in the background because we can't get out.
Yeah,
my campaign kickoff, I've got Stockham, I've got Steve House, I've got McCormick, I've got Covarrubias, I've got about three or four other people all coming.
Yay.
And we're trying to do all these different events, you know, whoever's the closest in that area, to do them together and to promote one another. Because my list can help somebody else's list. That's what I'm all about. If I don't make it across, fine. That's the Lord's will. But I'm going to give it a run. And I'm going to try to either pull, push, or whatever I have to do to get as many others as possible.
That's great, Tony.
To get across that field.
All right. Give us one more time how people can get a hold of you and help out.
Okay. Our website is www.tonyc4hd32.com.
Got it.
And we even have something kind of neat. I have Elvis Presley singing One Pair of Hands on that site. So we've got a wide variety.
How can
you
look at
these days?
Yeah. And but we also have a lot. I don't, you know, when you get a lot of paper and stuff to read, I don't know about you. I get about halfway and I says, what is it going to get done?
Yeah.
You know? So the way we've set up our website is so that people can get on. I use a lot of pictures, cartoons, and other things to make a point.
Okay.
I do talk a little longer in a couple areas, but for the most part, that way. And that's how I make my points. We have a section called Sometimes You Just Gotta Laugh.
All right.
And another one that's very good is the Just a Thought.
Okay.
And I get quotes from all kinds of people, like Reagan the guy that plays Blank in that. No. I have him too. Yes. But the guy that plays in Men in Black.
Oh.
What's his face?
I can't. Yes, Tom.
No, oh, not Tom.
Whatever it is.
None of us can do it all of a sudden. And he's one of my favorite actors.
Oh.
And he's got some neat little sayings, and I got those in there. And that's right. What we do. We're trying to make it fun.
Appreciate it.
Tony, appreciate your time. Appreciate your
good
work.
Job.
We'll stay in touch. Thank you for coming on. Yep. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
All I have to do is just go ahead and unmute yourself or mute yourself again.
Mute yourself.
Okay. So guys, check it out. Tony C for HD32.com.
And he's got a great idea. I mean, the Republicans said there's no Republican organization in Colorado. There's none. And so bringing all the candidates from this area together for an event where they all can support each other, get out votes for each other, is a brilliant idea.
Well, and one would hope at some point Cory Gardner might perk his ears up, right?
He's got other things.
And like he says, you know, drag him across the finish line. Yeah, it's like, you know, if somebody goes out to vote for Tony, they're gonna vote for
him. I don't know when Cory plans to put out some advertising. There's been
but
his opponents have been running negative ads on him for 3 months now.
Hickenlooper started running ads.
What do I know? So
let us open it up for phone calls now. 888-627-6008. The number. If you're on Zoom and you want to talk, just go ahead and unmute yourself and pull your picture up if you want to be on camera, and we'll see you. I want to talk a little bit, because we've been meaning to talk about this and you just got so busy. On the defunding the police, that's hot right now. Besides just being the most incredibly stupid idea I've ever heard of, but what I'm seeing them talk about, Chuck, is they're going to have social workers go out there, right? Let me give you a
biggest fascist ever.
Yeah, I covered a lot of this kind of stuff, and unless they significantly change the social workers,
they're left wing.
Anybody who gets a visit from a social worker, I mean, we would hear this all the time. Yeah. Here's the thing: everything is confidential. There is zero transparency, so there is also zero accountability. They think that the police are abusing their power. I don't think that social workers need
but if they can control the social workers.
The social workers, number one, are incredibly overworked anyway, right?
Get the idea. They're going to have their own social workers. Their own very special, trained social workers.
But they're going to use the Social Security or the social service laws, because right now it's nothing is public record.
Perfect.
And you can't get to public record. There is, again, no transparency, no accountability. Well, there is no ability to appeal.
You don't think they have thought about this?
Well, no, I know. Don't buy it, though. Don't even go to the ridiculousness of you're getting carjacked and you call a social worker. What are they going to read down? What is that, the thing of the needs, right? The hierarchy of needs are going to say, well, what need are we serving right now? I mean, it's just, the idea is stupid, but it should scare all of us, because I know it scares me that it's even being talked about. You had that idiot Minneapolis person say, oh, well, the fact that you're calling 911, that 911, that's a privilege issue. That shows that you're privileged. It's like, what? You know
There's
what I mean?
There's a little to that.
That you're being privileged? You're showing your
privilege? Yes. I told you how many times my father said, you never, ever call the police, ever. You never bring them into this house. You do not. You
I
handle
understand
it. Our
that,
attorney, but, let out the attorneys handle everything. You never bring the police to this house.
But that's the opposite of white privilege. They're saying that the very fact that you think you can call 911 and should call 911 means that you're
there's something to that, because if you're in a black neighborhood, you call 911, often does not turn out well.
I bet there are plenty of people who call 911 who have who need help and get help.
Yeah, or they need help. There's no question about that. What help they get sometimes
but here,
is deadly.
Now I'm going to segue then too into, because I've been meaning to talk about this forever too, is on the police reform. And some people may disagree with me on this, but we've talked about this. I think there are kind of a few areas that people need to be aware of that they may not be aware of. I'm going to talk briefly about Denver. The problem that the city of Denver has is the police unions in bed with the politicians. Yes. In other words, it all comes back on Mayor Hancock. When you see Mayor Hancock kneeling down laughing at all of us.
Yes,
I cannot tell you the number of times that they have had bad Denver police officers.
Yep.
They fire them. The safety manager fires them. Right. The city upholds the firing. And then what happens? They appeal it to the Career Services Authority,
right?
And the Career Services Authority overturns it.
And if they don't, then they go to district court. And the district court, 10 years later.
But guess who appoints the career service people?
Guess who appoints the district judges?
Democrats.
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 Mayor Hancock appoints those people.
Yes.
So on the one hand, he's crying alligator tears, saying we must do something to hold the police accountable. And yet he's the one who appoints the panel that lets them off.
Who walks around with three or four or five police officers.
Right. Mayor Hancock.
Mayor Hancock.
Well, and the reason he appoints the people who get on that board, right, that ultimately hear and make the decisions about police firings, they're all police union hacks. Right. Now, in my opinion, the police union is doing its job, right? They're supposed to protect the union, right? It is the mayor.
They could protect it to the point like they did in Minneapolis, and they did have a pretty abusive union there who is kind of, Derek Chauvin's being mistreated. He's great.
No, what I mean is, it's Hancock. He's the one who appoints him.
Oh, I know. Well,
why is he appointing? Why is he on the one hand appointing people who he knows, as he appoints them, that they are going to let every police officer off the hook, reinstate him with back pay, and yet get in front of the camera and in front of the microphone and say, "Oh, we have to hold police accountable."
Sure.
Get rid of that, Mayor Hancock. That's what has to be done.
Oh, good
luck. Well, you know, Amanda Sawyer, another city councilwoman, has a good idea there. She says, well, city council should have the ability to approve mayoral appointments.
I agree.
On the other hand, though, then you've got to have city council members who have a spine, right?
Who say,
and not a stupid spine. We're like, we're just
going to
defund
the spine.
No. The other thing is, though, I think that has to happen in terms of the accountability. I even saw this in Minneapolis. And other cities, they're reworking their policies that say that we're going to encourage police officers to report bad behavior of other police reports. Okay, I'm going to go, and some people are going to disagree with me. And if you do, call in 888-627-6008. It shouldn't be encourage. It should be the rule. It should be, if you are a police officer and you see another police officer doing something that you believe is wrong, number one, you should try to intervene. Number two, you should report it. And you should be able to be charged with official misconduct or something like that if you don't. You need to make the pain of staying silent greater than the pain of being called a snitch by your fellow officers.
Well, you know, if you go to the service academies, West Point, Annapolis, and say, you know, you should not lie, cheat, or steal, nor should you tolerate that of other cadets. And if you tolerated it, you're thrown out of the academy.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. They say, no, well, I didn't lie, cheat, or steal, but no, but you tolerated it in others, and therefore we find you equally as responsible.
Right. I think that they need, and instead you see these cities, they're doing that. The Democrats do this. They do this weaselly, wishy-wash, sleight of hand. Look at the glittery object over here. And they encourage this. Go ahead and make it a law. And back to the, here's why they don't make it a law. Because of the police unions. The people who really run this country are the people who fund the political campaigns. Because they're the ones who work, they get the lobbyists to work for them. Everything goes in their favor. And the politicians have learned very quickly how to say one thing, but do the other thing.
You have to understand that, you know, the police union is spending all of its time worrying about disciplinary procedures and how to crook it and how to make sure that their members, since they're spending the full time on it, anybody else is spending partial time on it is going to lose out. And so you are going to get union hacks at all the positions.
Right.
And Denver is allowed. And
the Democrat politicians know that. They don't tell you that, but they know that.
And they don't care. They've never cared. And so, you know, I mean, Denver's had Black or Hispanic mayors for every but 8 years, and that was Hickenlooper's only exception, for 40 years, and they've made no difference.
Right.
You know, the police department is no less brutal than it was.
No. Well, and the thing is, again, you go back to, because I did a lot of research on this when I was at the TV stations, because I did a million stories and covered lawyers who had done even more research.
Right.
You'll have, just like anything, you'll have a handful of bad police officers who have literally dozens of complaints against them for the same kind of thing. And I'll give them this. The police department in Denver tried to get rid of those people.
Yes,
as I said,
yes,
it fired them.
Right.
It suspended them. It fired them. It punished them. And in almost every case, it is overturned
somewhere
in the system that by people who are appointed by Democrats. And they know that going in. So number one, they need to change that. Number two, I think the other thing they need to do, like I said, is make it not an encouragement policy. They need to make it a law, like in the military, that you can and will be charged with official misconduct if you see it
and don't report
it, if you others. Tolerate it. Yeah. The other thing here, and some people I think are not going to agree with me on this either, they need to get rid of this qualified immunity. If you or I or anyone else does something, a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, a contractor, a hair person, right, gives you a bad haircut, you can sue them.
Well, I don't totally agree with that, but the way qualified immunity works now is similar to absolute immunity.
Right.
And instead of saying, you know, I don't think just mere negligence should make you personally liable as a
police
officer.
No, there can be standards, but...
Well, it's negligence, but I think it has to be a higher one where they are partially for you know, mistakes and other things that are going to occur. But this idea that you have qualified immunity, they suck dogs on somebody lying on the ground, it's just ridiculous.
But here's why they aren't going to pass this either. This is why they're lying to us again. Because you know what? It's a slippery slope if you're a politician. Because I also think they need to get rid of the qualified immunity for prosecutors.
They have absolute immunity. They're not qualified. Yeah,
they need to
absolutely.
Get rid of it for prosecutors. They need to get rid of it for city council. Well, for politicians. So,
you know, we're going to do a story on a judge
that Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle,
the judge who just at least alleged incredible conduct, but they don't sue him because he'll have absolute immunity.
Right,
he has absolute immunity, and so he's okay. So they sue the city.
Right, but they need to get rid of that. But here's the thing: I think it needs to go further. If you're a politician and you pass sanctuary city policies, if you're a politician and you're Beth McCann and your policies let a bad guy out of jail who ICE has asked to hold, and you won't let him hold, and you're Mayor Hancock and you say, no, we're not going to cooperate with ICE, and then that person goes out and kills somebody, then you should be able to sue that person too.
Tom Warrior is going to like you a lot.
I know.
Like that, Julie. We didn't know how much we like her.
And that's why they're not ever going to do anything about the police immunity, because it's a slippery slope, right? The next step is, well, maybe you, the politician, shouldn't have immunity too, and they don't want to do that.
No.
That just means, let's get Sherry from Lakewood calling in. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling.
I would like to go back to the social worker for just a second that you were talking about, because I want to connect it to the contact tracing. With the COVID-19, they want to do the contact tracing. So they want to interview everyone and then basically find out everyone you've come in contact with.
Right.
And then let's say you're a single mom raising a child.
Yeah.
And you've come in contact through their contact tracing with someone who's had it. So now you have to quarantine for, I don't know, what is it, 14 days or something?
Right.
And that gives them the right to take your child out of the house.
Yes.
Right.
You cannot quarantine yourself away from your child.
Right.
Oh.
So it's a very, very...
They're tricky, aren't they?
Well, it's a
terrible situation.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. This contact, everything sounds so nice, and the Democrats do. Oh, yeah, we'll just make sure that everybody's okay, and we'll follow through. They're just going to be trampling through everyone's rights.
Yeah, do you think they're contact tracing Chris Cuomo? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would have told them to get back in the house and quarantine, right? But you're right. They could, you know, contact trace somebody that they don't like. No, it's alarming.
And, you know, they have... Google is working now with it's like a app, and it automatically is going to be with your phone that, oh, you came within 6 feet of somebody that had COVID, so we need to come test you.
Yeah.
You know, also, I wanted to, and you guys might have brought this up, but May 7th, there was a bill that was introduced by the Democrats. It was amazingly Bill 6666.
What
that does is authorize mobile units to enter your house, test you, and vaccinate you. Now, I don't know that has passed, but...
Yeah. Well, they did a vaccination bill about kids, yeah. No, it's everything they do has a bigger purpose.
They do it incrementally, right?
Yeah.
They do it incrementally. It's like just like they learn from the heroin injection site, Bill, Sherry. They just tried to go straight to heroin injection, and people are like, heck no, I don't want a heroin injection site. We can't have people getting free heroin. But now they're going to be sneakier about it, just like, and you're right, that's one of the alarming things about the vaccination.
And that's why, you know, even with all the, you know, they've rigged the system against us, we got to figure out some way to ballot harvest and some way to take at least one of the houses back. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. And Sherry's really got the right points.
Well, Sunday movie was terrific. I mean, yeah. Robert F. Kennedy and Michelle Malkin are
fantastic. That's amazing. Were you
but
down
you
there?
You have to ask, why would Gates make a vaccine to save lives when he thinks the world is overpopulated?
Well, they're going to save some lives, Sherry.
The microchip, the ID 2020, so now they can start surveilling and tracking everyone. Yeah. What have you had? What is your history?
I don't know if I go there, but Sherry, you're right. That's something to be. Hey, thank you for calling.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
going.
It.
Take care.
We appreciate it. Uh-huh. She's got a really good point. I mean, they already, you saw those, the information that came out about people's traveling, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
where
right.
they, and that was based on cell phone positioning. And they say, oh, but we didn't actually see who was who.
Yeah,
but the point is they could. It would be very easy. I mean,
it's scary.
Yeah,
it's
it would scary. Be very easy to do that. And again, I go back, I didn't used to be this influence. I didn't used to be such
it's
an
my fault. It is. You're a paranoid schizophrenic.
I'm a paranoid schizophrenic conspiracy theory person. But I go back to who would have thought that you would have the FBI and the Justice Department and the CIA spying on and trying to take out a sitting president. You'd be like, no, that wouldn't really happen. Who would have thought that you would have Governor Polis with the worst models, the worst projections, destroying the Colorado economy,
right.
continuing to this day to hold on to his emergency powers?
It's now up to July 1st, and God knows, right. When is it, it's amazing.
You've got Governor Polis who shut down the CNC Cafe, and suspended their license, wouldn't let them open, and as far as I know, still isn't letting them open.
Are they open?
Okay.
No, they're not open yet, but they hope to open later in the week.
Okay, but it's like, who would have thought that he could do that?
Right.
And then in the meantime, saying we're all going to die, and that the people who are conservatives who protest at the Capitol are selfish and killing people and have blood on their hands, but the protesters, right?
Now they have some blood
and
on their hands. That's good blood.
This. I am sorry. Those pictures of the people washing the feet, kneeling down, taking a knee, and then washing the feet of the protesters. I mean,
well, they're masochists.
That doesn't scare
they're,
you.
They're liberals that are just contemptible.
But they're virtue signaling. They're going to.
Well, they may be virtually signaling, but that is a way of virtually signaling that is degrading. I mean, they're going to have them being urinated. Who knows what they're going to do next?
But you got to stay tuned to us because we're going to keep.
We're going to let you know if that happens.
Hey, ChuckandJulie.com. Love to have you.
We have a great conservative black author on Wednesday. It would be a lot of fun. So.
Right, Kathy Burnett.
Yes, Kathy Burnett.
And go ChuckandJulie.com. You can catch all of our podcasts there. Leave comments. We love people who follow us on Facebook. Love to have you follow us on YouTube. You can get the link there at ChuckandJulie.com. Thank you to the folks at ColoradoCitizenPress.com. They do a great job helping us promote ourselves.
You've got to read their articles and what's going on down to the legislature and some of the bills. And it's just amazing stuff. And, of course, Synergetics, where you get to take control of your own life. And that's really an important thing.
Yeah, in this day and age, that may be all you can control.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to all the folks at Zoom. And we will see you.
Take care, Tony.
Take care, Tony. And thank you to Dave Williams. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.